was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of...
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio, broadcast on RBN Network. I'm your host, Lori Anderson, joined with co-host Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers, and also known as the Freedom Screamer. So as more investigations that I did, I found out some things about their events, and I really hope that the law enforcement that's in that area pays attention to what I'm saying, as well as Bikers for Trump, the military, and anybody else who's out there, because this very well may be some of the places that they end up running to once they start. So let me make something clear. Right now I am on just one of the Facebook sites, and this is some of the details in which they write. They have what is called a Second Action Spokes Council public volunteering event by Disrupt J20 being held tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. through 9 p.m. And it is going to be held at All Souls Church Unitarian at 1500 Harvard State Northwest in Washington in the District of Columbia. Now, like we said, as long as this is peaceful, we don't have a problem. So that is one of the churches that is allowing Disrupt J20 to use their churches. On January the 19th, they have a third and final Action Spokes Council meeting at another church from 1 to 4 p.m., and that's being held at St. Stephen and Incarnation Episcopal Church at 1525 Newton Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20010. The details on this site, what they are saying is, inauguration is this week, and we are ready to shut blank down on the 20th. We're going to jam the streets ahead of Trump's inauguration parade and disrupt business as usual in D.C. We will make it impossible for the media to gloss over Trump's hateful agenda. 3 days before the inauguration, this Second Action Spokes Council is a place to plug affinity groups that are arriving to D.C. into existing actions and to self-organize groups for new actions that are popping up. This Spokes Council is open to organizations, collectives, and affinity groups who are looking to plug into the actions that will occur on J20 to help shut down the inauguration. If you're an individual who is looking to join an affinity group, you may also attend to get connected with an affinity group. Law enforcement and media are not welcome. Well, there you go. And that location, once again, for the Second Action Spokes Council on January the 17th, is being held, once again, at 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m., where law enforcement and media are not welcome, at All Souls Church, 1500 Harvard State Northwest, Washington, District of Columbia. And on the 19th, once again, where, of course, I'm sure law enforcement and media are also not welcome, is going to be located at St. Stephen and Incarnation Episcopal Church at 1525 Newton Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. So there are just some of the locations of where they're planning to get the other groups who are planning to join in so that they can do more from what it sounds than just, quote-unquote, disrupt. So I want to let you know this, too. On January the 20th, it is on the National Mall in Washington in the District of Columbia, Friday, 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. They are going to be having a blockade brigade, queer resistance, on J20. It says, come join the Quack Blockade Brigade as we hold a queer anti-inauguration party at a security checkpoint. In the face of threats to our safety and our rights, we want to remind inauguration attendees as well as the world that we're here and we're queer and we're not going away. We don't care if you are queer. We don't care. Stop bringing everybody in your bedroom business. What you do in your bedroom is your business. Stop bringing it out in the public. Who cares? Come dance and hold a banner or participate however you'd like. But bring your glitter, rainbow flags, face paint, angel wings, bring it all. Although don't bring any of the prohibited items. And of course they have a link for that. Even though we are taking over a security checkpoint. Did you hear that? We are taking over a security checkpoint. We're there to have a good time, have fun, dance, celebrate our queer identities, no matter how anyone else reacts. This is not a space to instigate, and we will not be trying to provoke arrest. Do you feel the dripping hypocrisy? How can you not say you're not trying to provoke arrest? It's not a space to instigate when you are saying you are going to take over a security checkpoint. You've lost your minds. So that is also another spot to all the people in DC, so you can know some of the places that are meeting up and some of what is going on for that. But I want to go back to this situation because this is serious. These are individuals, and I'm not talking about all of them, obviously, but a lot of these individuals will cry because you use a term. A lot of these individuals are the same type of individuals that needed a safe space to go because Donald Trump was elected. They need a safe room. And there is going to be hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of bikers there supporting law enforcement, supporting the military, supporting Donald Trump. Now, we know, especially the longtime listeners of here, you can tell that there's a brew in the mix for a coup. You can tell it. It's not, I don't believe it's going to be successful, I'm telling you now. I don't believe it. You have too many red-blooded Americans that are done. We are tired of the temper tantrums of people in the streets destroying innocent people's businesses and places where they live because they're throwing a temper tantrum. You know what we used to do in the old days, Eric, when we were kids? What happened when we threw a temper tantrum?
Nothing good.
Right. See, the old school way, when you threw a temper tantrum, you got your butt spanked. You got it tore up from the floor up. You learned respect. And, you know, that's probably one of the problems with a lot of these individuals. They've never had their butt spanked. But I'm going to tell you, and I'm saying this in all love and sincerity, I've seen your protests, I've seen your walks, I've seen your disruptions, I've seen the way that you handle things. You do not want to go toe-to-toe with these bikers, with these Marines, with these National Guard. You don't want to do it. I'm telling you, you don't want to do it. Now, it doesn't matter whether you support Trump or you don't. Just like with President Obama, it didn't matter whether you supported him or not. When it came to inauguration, there would have been no excuse that would have been okay for individuals to plan a chemical attack on Obama supporters. There would have been no excuse for that. and there is no excuse for this. Even, believe this or not, Eric, I think I about passed out when I seen it. Of course, you know, Washington Times is trying to make it not as big a deal as it was, but Washington Times even covered this. I'm shocked, but they did. They sure did. So I'm going to warn you. Protesters, you need to understand something. Y'all are from a world that you're getting paid to protest. Not all of you, but most of you that are involved with these specific movements, the main thing you know is Facebook, is Twitter, is bullying by words, marching together hand in hand, taking over security checkpoints. Let me tell you something. The people you are going to be dealing with that are going to stand in the way and make darn sure that you do not harm any of the Trump supporters that are there to enjoy the inauguration or to harm the president. Let me tell you something. They are highly trained. Most bikers. Go ahead.
And I got some more news for them. All you useful idiots, your bosses, the people who run your little organizations, they're getting paid and working for the same people who you think you're fighting against. They got both sides, and you're working for one of them. You're a diversionary squad being used so people don't focus on the vicar generals and the judicial vicars who are holding Tom as we speak.
Right. And here's the thing. I'm concerned. I'm not concerned that I know bikers. They're loyal. They're very loyal. But I'm going to tell you, those are not the same kind of people you dealt with in Ferguson, guys. I hope you're listening. Those are not the same kind of people you dealt with in Detroit when y'all were throwing your temper tantrums and busting up those cars. A lot of those bikers are highly trained veterans. You don't have a clue what they lived through to survive. You think you've got it hard because the government is not giving you more money? Research Hamburger Hill. You have no idea what you're asking for. And I'm telling you, if you're there to protest and you're actually protesting with no bad intentions and not part of these groups, that's one thing. There's nothing wrong with protesting. But let me tell you, if you think you're going to continue to get by with this junk, it's not going to happen. America's done. And when I mean America is done, I'm talking about the whole. Y'all are the minority when it comes to your junk. And here's the thing. If you weren't paid, you wouldn't even be there. So that tells us right away how sad your movement is, that you have to be paid to be there. Those bikers aren't being paid to be there. And they're coming. There's already a lot of them there. And there's more en route, I'm telling you. And they will defend the people. They're not going to let you do what you thought you, like what you did in Ferguson. It's not going to happen. It'll be your come to Jesus moment, I'm telling you. And Eric, from reports, from what I'm hearing, you know, like I said, just the Bikers for Trump is 200,000 strong. There's other organizations that are 300,000, 400,000 strong that are supposed to be there too. Rolling Thunder. The Christian Bikers Coalition, I think that's like 300 or more thousand strong. I'm telling you, you guys don't want it. But in addition to that, it's being reported, and I don't know, you know, how accurate it is, because there's a lot of hearsay that goes on. but I've been hearing reports that 1%ers are going too, and I'm telling you, you don't even want to look at their bikes wrong. And they won't start it. They won't start it. Well, let me tell you, you throw some kind of Molotov cocktail at them, they will finish it. I'll tell you that right now. They will finish it. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to play a clip for you so that you can hear, because mainstream media is also actually covering this, to my shock. Alternative media is forcing now. Thank God. There's a little tiny bit of honesty and coverage coming out of Antique MSM. I'm thankful for that. And if that's what it takes, hey, I'm all for it. So if you would, Mike, go ahead and play LV3.
Well, the inaugural stage is set for President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration this Friday, but many protesters, thousands of them, apparently putting their plans in place for big disruptions.
But one motorcycle group has vowed to protect attendees by riding down to Washington to support the president-elect.
And joining us right now is the founder of the group, Bikers for Trump, Chris Cox. Chris, why do you think we need, Americans need a wall of bikers to protect the inauguration?
Well, first, let me explain to your bikers. To me, the definition of a biker is a patriot who is a motorcycle enthusiast. Okay. Bikers are citizen crusaders from across the country. They're from all walks of life. And Hollywood would have us to believe that they are renegade outlaws. That's just not the case. And many times, bikers have reached the top of their field. For instance, Keith Schiller, Donald Trump's chief of security, is a motorcycle enthusiast. Mm-hmm. We got Kyle Petty, who travels the country raising millions of dollars each year. Franklin Graham, Hank himself, is a biker. He takes a trip from North Carolina to Alaska every year. So this demographic is blue collar as well as white collar.
Surely.
And so to answer your question, you know, our narrative has changed. And when we were in Cleveland, we certainly were there to stand toe-to-toe against those who would cause chaos and mayhem, and to stand with law enforcement. But the times have changed, and people have learned a lot since all these disruptions in Arizona and in Chicago. So we're anticipating a peaceful transfer of action of power here. And so we don't have any reason to believe that we're going to have any problems. A lot of times the media polarizes things that are coming up, just like they did in Cleveland. So in the event that we are needed, yes, we're going to be there. But we'd like to talk about the people who have come together collectively to support Donald Trump and to just come to Washington, D.C. to celebrate this event.
Well, it's great. You know, Chris, pardon the interruption. There are something like 1,000 buses of protesters being bused down to Washington right now as we speak through the next 5 days. If something happens, what is your group prepared to do?
Well, that remains to be seen. First and foremost, we're going to give law enforcement every opportunity to do their job. We're going to leave it to guys a little smarter than us when it comes to security. In the event that we have guys coming up and assaulting us and, you know, what people don't understand is a lot of these anarchists that are coming in town, they don't like us any more than they like the Democrats, any more than they like that these women are going to be marching and going to be protesting. They don't like either one of us. We may find ourselves trying to help fortify an area where some of these women that are protesting Donald Trump. As patriots, we have to keep an eye on everybody, all citizens. And we think Donald Trump would have us keep an eye on everybody.
All right. Chris Cox, Bikers for Trump. We wish you all the best. Thank you so much for coming on our show, Chris.
Thank you, everybody.
So I'm also going to let you know, it's been reported, and I don't have this information, but it's being reported out of different things that's coming out with the Bikers for Trump, that they know, they now have the information who the bus companies are that are transporting these protesters. If these protesters are coming on these buses and they do this chemical attack, then they could also be part of, and I'm not sure about this, but Eric, I really would like your thought on this. Could they also, because they've been warned, could they be considered as part of the conspiracy because they transported them in, kind of like a getaway driver does for robbing a bank?
Yeah, I guess you could make that connection. Yep, yep. You know, I mean, depends on how knowingly it was done. I mean, once again, you're getting into some, you know, do you want the bus companies intruding on everybody's, where everybody's going? But if they knowingly are transporting people who are going to do violence, is that part of the conspiracy? Yeah, if they know it or ahead of time, sure. If they don't and they just happen to be an unwitting agent, I mean, it is a bus service is almost a public utility. I mean, it's I wouldn't fault them for accidentally and unknowingly transporting anyone, but if they knew it, then yeah, sure.
Right. So in other words, if somebody reached out to them, provided the proof, and said, hey, you might want to rethink this because if you bring them in, this is showing exactly their plans. They provide the proof for that, and they still go along with it. Then they can't claim they didn't know, is what you're saying.
That's correct.
Right. That's the thing that I was thinking, too. I would like to open the phone lines. If we have any Bikers for Trump out there that are listening in, please give us a call, 1-800-313-9443. Also, all of our normal callers that call in, you're more than welcome to call in as well. We'd love to hear from you. What is your opinion? We want to hear these phones ring off the hook. Do you think that this is an act of terrorism? Whether you do or do not support Trump, the issue at hand is the plan to not just protest, but to, when you're talking about chemical attacks on people, that's not okay. And these individuals, for so long, because of the, you know, connection with Soros and then the MoveOn.org and all this other junk and President Obama making excuses for it and Eric Holder making excuses for it and all of this stuff, they've gotten by with this for so long that they think this is going to continue. I've got news for you. I would not be around after Trump was sworn in, I'm telling you. If you have those nefarious reasons, I'm not talking about genuine protesters, but if you have those nefarious reasons, I'm telling you right now, it would not be wise, because it's going to change, and we're not going to continue to allow American people to be terrorized by you. You know, if you remember in Ferguson, when Ferguson was going down, those keepers went down there and got on top of the buildings and stopped black people's businesses from being burned down by these daggone hoodlums, because they stood on the roofs and they were armed. And any time a Molotov cocktail was done, they had their buckets there. They had their thick gloves. They'd grab them and they'd throw them in those buckets. Let me tell you guys, I'm telling you, you protesters are used to Facebook and Twitter. You're dealing with people who know how to live off the land. You're dealing with people who are used to a very rough life. Very rough life. They don't whine and cry or go to the hospital when a finger gets broke. They fix it themselves. I'm telling you. I'm warning you out of love and out of concern for everybody. But, I mean, it just is amazing to me that these people would sell themselves and the delusion that the people who are paying them are actually going to stand by them if they get arrested and get sent away for 5 years or more. You better think again. You're nothing but a pawn. They're playing chess, and you're the pawn. And you claim you're standing against it, and y'all are following some Michael Moore. Yeah, Michael Moore at one point had a lot of good points. And then Michael Moore went to the highest bidder. That just never ceases to amaze me. So I want to give you some more information Soros' son. He's quietly stepped up as a major liberal donor. His name is Alexander Soros, and he gave $4.5 million to the Democratic campaigns and committees in 2016. All righty. I have a caller on the line. And I will go ahead and take this call. Larry, how are you doing this evening?
Very fine. Thank you very much. Can you tell me how much these people are getting paid?
Well, it just depends. You have the lower paid protesters, which are basically the foot soldiers. Okay, some of them are getting paid $15 and $16 an hour. There are different reports as far as for the higher organizers. In other words, the ones that are the head of the snake, basically, on the foot protests. It has had different varying reports, anywhere from $5 to $10,000.
Now, if a protester, let's say they come from, like, on a bus from Wisconsin to Washington, D.C., and they're getting paid $15 an hour, does that include the bus ride, the time to ride the bus there and back?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you can actually go to the website for Disrupt J20, and they even have activist housing.
And do they get paid by check then or cash?
Oh, that I don't know, dear. I don't have a copy of that. I do remember that when Ferguson was going on, okay, the protesters that were supposed to be paid by Soros started speaking out because Soros didn't pay them. You can look that up on Google. They started raising all sorts of cane because they had done what they were paid to do, but they hadn't received their money yet, and he hadn't paid them, so they started complaining in the media because they weren't paid.
So maybe this, the whole thing about these people getting paid is just a made-up story.
No, they have had massive connections with that. Yeah,
they've had massive connections with it.
You can look into the MoveOn.org. You can look into the Soros Foundation. You can look into where they're donating their money. The Soros, the Open Society Foundation, is donating money over to MoveOn.org. MoveOn.org is donating money over to the Black Lives Matter movement. All of it is connected, and it has been proven.
Has it been proven that people are getting paid $15 an hour in cash or checks?
All you
got
to do is look at the ads. All you have to do is look at the ads.
They've put ads out there.
And on there, yes, there's been plenty of ads. And on that note, we're going to go to a word from our network sponsors. Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I have actually been on Balance of Nature for a year now. I have MS, and I recently had an MRI. This is the first year that I've had a stable MRI, so I'm thrilled. When I have an MRI with MS, usually there are glowing spots that come through, which is damage on the nerves in my brain and my spinal cord, and when they're glowing, it means they're active. And then my last MRI, they pulled it up, and I honestly couldn't believe that it was my MRI. There was nothing glowing. And in fact, the dark spots were shrinking. They were healing. And the doctor actually said to me, I think we're in remission. I was so happy. I had no idea that that could be my reality.
The new challenge will allow you to receive 2 months of Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies free. And we'll even ship them to you free. Call now for details. Call 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code TALK.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
To Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I'm your host, Lori Anderson, joined with co-host Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers. You can find his information at courtroomwatch.org. Are you ready to take that stand? Have you been ready? Have you been waiting? There's a battle going on in America over right versus wrong. Humanity versus anti-humanity. Unity versus division. Hope versus the hopeless. And destruction versus creation. Are you ready to take that stand? I want to welcome Dave to the show. How are you doing tonight, Dave?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks.
Good to hear, good to hear. What do you think about all this?
I think it's pretty crazy. I've been kind of following up on the story a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I wanted to comment on Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few tidbits about him. Jay-Z is first of all, he's pretty he's a pretty open Freemason. He's part of Prince Hall Freemasonry, which is the black Masonic lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably pretty high up in the mm-hmm. ranks there. And also, there's photos of Jay-Z with hanging out with Marina Abramovich, who is that lady who's associated with the Pizzagate scandal, the artist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, and didn't you find it interesting that the meeting that Disrupt J20 was held at Comet Pizza as well?
Oh, I didn't catch that part. Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, it was held at Comet Pizza.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. And it's very scary because nothing still is being done about that. And so, obviously, these people are protected.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just tells me one thing, that there's a certain level in law enforcement that you can't get past. That's all that means to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the real scary part. What was I going to say? So is it? And I've been hearing people talk about Trump, and some people are like angry at him. And I've heard, you know, when I go to work, there's liberals at work, and they talk about Trump, and mm-hmm. they are very they're very angry to the point of being violent.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the stuff.
These are white people too.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff. You've got to remember a lot of the stuff that many of the liberals get their information from is mainstream media. They have constantly manipulated clips and lied. And yes, I'm not talking about just manipulated. I'm talking about they have flat out lied, and people have bought into that. Now, then you have your other liberals that are getting information from people like Michael Moore, and they look up to some of these congressmen that are going along with this kind of stuff. They look up to individuals who are connected, but they don't realize that. Does that make sense? So they're reading all of this stuff that is disinformation, and it is helping to brainwash them into a certain thought pattern. Okay? And that's one of the problems, and that's why we fight so hard to make sure that we put out the truth. And if we make a mistake, we gladly correct it. You know, we're all human, but we gladly correct it. Whereas the basic mouthpieces for the propaganda, which used to be mainstream media. They're not mainstream media now, but so many people still perceive that just because it has that little tag of CNN or MSNBC or ABC or whatever the case may be, they think it's truth. So if you get a lot of misinformation and you get these lower groups that are paid to go out and create the chaos, okay, and they tell them that this man is this way, this, they don't provide real proof. They provide what they're being told. Then these people go home and research, and what do? They pull up articles off of quote-unquote mainstream media that backs up those statements, thus fueling that anger.
Right. And a lot of things that are attached to Donald Trump, Donald Trump himself has nothing to do with, for instance, Donald Trump is not really a white nationalist.
No, he's not.
He's not part of a white, he has nothing to do with the white nationalist movement at all.
No, and so many people keep on saying that, and most of these are Democrats, and the Democrats are what created the KKK in order to push down the Republican vote. They would go and they would beat black Republicans or kill them, and if they beat them, they would beat them to the point where they agreed that they wouldn't vote Republican, they would vote Democrat. Thus, that is how that's how KKK and why it was begun in the first place.
Yeah, and a lot of what Donald Trump says has a lot of what Donald Trump says has nothing to do with race, period, at all.
Right, but they want to make it about racism because that's part, if you remember, that's part of the rules for radicals. You know, right. when they can't win it with facts, they have to deflect. And right. So many people for the longest time, it doesn't work anymore, but it used to work because everybody was so scared of being called racist. You know, when somebody calls me racist because I go after Obama for his policies, I laugh at them and I say, well, which one am I racist against? Because he's biracial. He's not a black man. So he's half white and half black. I'm attacking his white side. Your next issue is what?
Yeah.
You know, but you have to know the rules for radicals and the stuff like that. And not for us to use them in their manner, but we can use their rules for radicals with truth. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to understand what they're doing, what their blueprint is.
Right. Absolutely. You must know. Yeah. Go ahead.
And the sad thing is, like you're saying, George Soros is funding all this, which is true. How many average black people even know who George Soros is? I bet you they don't. I bet you I'm not insulting black people. I'm just saying where we are in terms of like the informational level. How many black people actually know who George Soros is or what he does? They don't know who he is. They don't even know what he looks like.
Right. Well, that's probably
and he's not black.
Right. No. Very far from it. Let me see how to explain this. Over in certain areas, okay, where the poverty rate is low and it's got a high black rate, okay, you will notice that there is less access to computer systems, if you will. Because they're in a certain, you know what I'm saying? So what they have to rely on is the only thing that'll come in through their TV. So they have to rely on the media that comes through their TV. And if you remember, back in the day, we didn't have to have those boxes on our TV. But now, if you've got a TV, if you don't own cable, if you can't afford cable, which most people that are poor cannot, because, I mean, it's eat or pay for cable, they're going to eat. So they plug into these systems, and on those black boxes, the main thing that comes up is that mainstream system. So that all that stuff is what's being fed to them constantly, and they don't have a route. And I'm not saying they don't always have a route. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're completely out in the dark. But the generalization of what you're talking about, they don't have as much access to being able to dig into that. And the reason being is I'm talking about, you know, in certain areas, in certain states, you've got tons of free Wi-Fi that you can pick up on in certain cities, right?
Sure.
Now, I don't know how it is currently. I know a while back, and I'm speaking of what I know from a while back. I want to make that clear. It could be different now. But I do know a while back, that free Wi-Fi and stuff was not as accessible in the lower poverty areas. So those voters and those individuals, that's what they're constantly fed through that mainstream media propaganda. There was a lady, I don't know if you remember the Obama phone lady, but she's a wonderful lady. But she was paid to do the Obama phones trying to get Obama votes. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that I can't remember whether it's 2008 or 2012, but I think it was 2012. But, and like I said, I'm going off of memory, so don't quote that exact, you know, date for it. But anyway, she had agreed to an interview with Alex Jones, and then he showed her the clips of President Obama speaking on certain issues, and then she got mad. And it's because, and she admitted this, and she was from Cleveland, Ohio, and she got mad because she said over there in her area that basically you have that mainstream media constantly feeding us the good, the good, the good, never showing what the other is, and there's pretty much a limitation because people who are in that area are in real poverty. So they don't have the ability to go buy the computers. They don't have the ability to access, you know, the internet to be able to search and find this stuff out. So the only thing they're getting is through the antique MSM. So that's why they believe it. So when she found out the truth of the matter out of Obama's own mouth from his own clips that had been saved, she no longer supported President Obama. So it takes, you know, it takes patience too, because a lot of people don't understand. It depends on what part of the areas and neighborhoods and countries you're in. You know, it takes a lot to understand, because if we're in an area, let's say, that has a lot of access, then we don't necessarily understand that they don't have that access. And the only thing that they're getting is that leftist news, is that communist news, you know. So that could be one of the issues, you know. And then you have these groups like what we're talking about, and they specifically go into these same neighborhoods and target those same people to convince them that if we don't do this, we're going to die. If we don't do this, we're going to be deported. If we don't do this, this is going to happen. If we don't do this, you know, they're going to lock us all up in FEMA camps. It's all fear-mongering, but this is what they're telling people. And this is true. I mean, it's on their own sites.
Right. That's absolute rubbish.
It is rubbish. But, you know, the easiest thing to believe is fear. Is to build up on someone's fear. Fear, 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 fear. And
Right. They're
very good at doing that. So, you know, that's just my opinion on it. And the propaganda war, let me tell you, and I had touched base on it before, and you know this, on that mastering the human domain. Because most of them, and if they have a smartphone, what is it where they get their information from? Usually Facebook or Twitter. Instead of being able to dig into documents, because on your phone, if you're looking and stuff, you can read articles and stuff, but you're not going to be able to read PDFs, or at least not to my knowledge. I'm not really I'm not real IT savvy when it comes to that. So, but I know with my phone, I cannot pull up PDFs on my phone. You know, so that could be some of the case too. And this is why I keep reaching out and I'm telling them, look, you don't want this. You really don't want this. These people are getting paid. It's the new version of the old COINTELPRO. That's exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
You know.
But I think a lot of it also has to do with your upbringing and how you were educated.
Right.
Because an educated person will use information to the will be able to take advantage of like a source like the internet in an optimum way. Someone who doesn't know how to, who's not educated or is from a certain background, won't be able to.
Right.
To me, the internet is just another tool, and even if you have the internet, you can be led down a seriously bad rabbit hole.
Yes, you can. You absolutely can.
And this happens all the time, even the Patriots, because there's divisions within the whole Patriot movement and constitutionalists.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a problem there. And a lot of that really has to do with your background and your upbringing and basically who taught you what. At least that's my opinion.
Right.
But Yeah, it's just interesting because I really feel like I don't know who Donald Trump is until he gets into office, and I'm not saying that I voted for him and I'm glad he got in the office, but he really hasn't done anything yet, so to speak.
Right. Well, other than, now, we have to give him a little bit of credit. And it's not him personally, because he's obviously not in office. But we do have to give him credit for all these jobs coming back already, and he's not even in office yet.
I totally agree with that. I agree with that 100%. And I'm not one to bash that at all. I think that's fantastic because there aren't too many presidents that would do that at all. I mean, this guy's a workhorse. So
And we got to give him mad respect for that. Whether we agree with Trump on everything, that doesn't matter. And
I have serious problems. Go ahead.
You go ahead first, and then I'll answer.
I have serious problems with them. I think people should pay some serious attention to Jared Kushner. I think people should really pay attention more to Jared Kushner than they should to Donald Trump, because I think there's a lot going on there that's than meets the eye. He's the senior advisor, and I don't know exactly what his daughter's role is going to be in terms of advising, but Jared Kushner is a very powerful person in Donald Trump's world, and I don't particularly think that Jared Kushner is going to be doing things necessarily for our benefit. So there's that matter, but we'll see. But the thing I was going to really say is that what Donald Trump has done is that he's really opened the dividing line in America. Like, people are seeing, like, really where they stand. And that's what I've realized. And it's kind of odd because I've never really taken presidents that seriously, like, as in, like, it's that much of a life-changing event. I don't know if Donald Trump's that guy. And I personally don't think he would make changes so radical that it's really to the point where people should be like you were saying, that they're in fear, they're making up stories about what he's going to do. But at least philosophically, people are dividing themselves on what they imagine Donald Trump to be.
Without any facts.
Getting them so violent. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, here's, on that note, you know, here's the thing. We here are watchdogs. We've proven that time and time again. We have proven to our listeners and to all our callers, it does not matter who they are, we're going to hold their feet to the fire. We have talked about why I don't agree with certain picks that Mr. Trump picked. But in all fairness, okay, Mr. Trump is not in office yet. We have to give him a chance. We have to use and exercise benefit of the doubt, just like we want done for us. And we can't do that if we don't practice it. You agree?
No, I agree. I totally agree. I mean, I voted for him, so I'm at that stage where I'm wait and see. And that's all we can really do at this point. Donald Trump has no voting record.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a zero. What is he? We don't even know who he's voted for in the past, or we don't even know what policies he's voted for in the past. Mm-hmm. To me, he's a totally blank slate.
Mm-hmm.
He's a completely blank slate with the personality, like kind of with this Hollywood personality.
But here's a question too. Let me ask you this, though.
And I'm not saying it's superficial. I'm just saying that I'm looking at it with a totally blank point of view. I'm not saying negative or positive.
No, I know. I know what you're saying. But let me ask you this question, because we go over this all the time on the show: de jure versus de facto. How do we know that the reason? And I'm not saying he doesn't have a voting record, because I haven't checked into that. Okay, but let's assume he doesn't. Okay. Is that because he didn't want to be part of the de facto system?
That's possible.
Because that's because that's part of the de facto.
Right.
You know, I mean, we don't.
He's
go ahead.
He's smart enough to know. He's smart enough to know about it. I wouldn't be surprised if he knew about it.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised either.
I mean, he's a brilliant man. So, I don't know. I think that he's just got a lot of things up his sleeve that we don't even know about. That's my gut feeling about Donald Trump. He's got a lot of things up his sleeve.
Well, you know, all we can do when it comes to, in reference to per se, Washington, D.C., is giving benefit of the doubt, letting be CEO of the United States of America Incorporated, and hope that he lives up to what he's saying, because if he does, it's going to be a lot easier to work hand in hand with the de facto, with being the de jure. So what I'm going to do, let me go ahead and get to Betty, if you would. You can stay on if you want, Dave. Betty, how are you doing this evening?
And I just want to thank you, Lori, for all you have brought out tonight, and hopefully it will stop some of this evil doings that they plan to do. And I'm very angry. It makes me mad when I think about Tom, what's happened to him, what's happened to the Bundys and all. And these evil people are getting by with everything. It's just very, very upsetting. But I want to say, too, with Trump, I truly didn't even used to like him at all. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we had no other choice. We sure don't want to go the other direction, you know. I mean, to Hillary's side, and we don't want global. We don't want global one world order.
Right.
So anyway, we had no choice, and I think this is our. He is our only hope. Of course, I think God is the main one. You know,
yes.
And people prayed and they repented and they cried out, and look what happened. I don't think he really would have got it unless the people did.
Absolutely.
Because they seen the evil. You know, that was revealed to us in the WikiLeaks and all that. We had no idea there was all that kind of evilness. And I think because we are people of moral value, we can't even imagine what they are up to. I mean, it doesn't enter our mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
We can't think of that, kind of things, you know?
Right.
And when you hear it, it's unbelievable. You think, what world am I in? You know, where am I at?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so thankful that he did. But, you know, with all his money, he did not have to run for president.
Right, and he didn't.
I think he knew there was no other way.
That by himself. People don't seem to get that. He doesn't even want to get paid to be president.
Exactly.
People aren't getting
that. He's not in it for the money.
Right.
So, but do you feel that all the things that he listed was the things, you know, bring the jobs back, you know, everything he listed, the people were wanting. We wanted to see that again.
Right.
You know,
well,
the wall bill, I think it's a wonderful idea.
Absolutely.
I think everybody should give so much on the brick myself, and we'll build the darn thing ourselves, right?
Right. Well, I want to thank you very much.
Is that an idea or not?
Yes, it is. And Betty,
I mean,
thank you for calling in.
But
we've run out of time for tonight. Please call back tomorrow night. I'm going to discuss with you what Donald Trump rattled off in Europe about NATO tomorrow night. So everyone, stay with us. As always, watch your backs and check your facts. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And remember, it's time to take that stand to protect each and every individual in our union. Watch your backs, check your facts, and take a stand for our union. Good night.
Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.